John McClain will join us at 7:40 for his weekly Wednesday appearance. He was at the first two Astros games.
What kind of John McClain are we going to get here? He's going to be exhausted? He's going to be bedraggled? He's been out late two nights in a row?
He'll be fine.
I wonder if he stayed the whole game last night knowing that he had to come in here.
We'll ask him.
Okay.
We'll ask him. 7:40.
There's a little bit to McClain right now where it feels a little bit like Belichick, where he's accomplished a lot in his career, yep. And now he feels like, okay, it's time to enjoy it. And maybe he's lost his edge a little bit, just like I claim that Bill Belichick's lost his fastball. Yeah, sure. Did he almost just win a Super Bowl? Sure. But it's just something a little bit different.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
You're enjoying life a little too much, John McClain. You hear me? If you're driving in right now, stop enjoying life so much.
He was at spring training. He was at the owners' meetings
in
Orlando.
He goes to spring training every year.
He does.
And he went to owners' meetings as part of his job.
He did.
So both of those are...
He's well-traveled.
Yeah.
I guess this is sort of unrelated specifically to your point.
Oh, did you see what I sent you, by the way, yesterday? That question about the bean in Chicago. My daughter's my daughter's language arts workbook had something about the bean in Chicago. Yeah. I almost threw the thing out the window. I was so angry.
Yeah. Bean, common reference.
The bean. It was like, point out the dependent clause in this sentence. Well, commonly known throughout the world as the bean.
Perfect.
Chicago's something.
I did not come up with those test questions. So Landry put together a list. It is on our website, sportsradio610.com. Top 15 current Houston athletes, and there are two factors that were taken into account when compiling this list. The number one factor was which current Houston athletes are the best at what they do, and the second factor is more of a forward-focused thing, which is which athletes does he have the most confidence in performing the best moving forward. I'll just go through the list unto itself.
Yeah, I'll let you go through the whole damn list.
One, Altuve. Two, Harden. Three, DeAndre Hopkins.
Football player.
Four, Correa. Five, Justin Verlander. Six, Chris Paul. Seven, Dallas Keuchel. Eight, Jadeveon Clowney. Nine, George Springer. 10, Deshaun Watson. 11, Gerrit Cole. 12, Whitney Mercilus. 13, Alex Bregman. 14, Eric Gordon. 15, J.J. Watt.
All right. I'll tell you the first thing that jumped out at me, and this might be the one that probably jumped out to nobody else but me. Putting Gerrit Cole ahead of Alex Bregman and J.J. Watt, and I'll say ahead of those two, was interesting to me. I know you're talking about moving forward, how much confidence do you have in them, but I would say that Alex Bregman has played really well more recently than Gerrit Cole has. Like, are you feeling like Gerrit Cole is going to have a repeat of his 2015 performance?
Yeah, that's a very good point. He finished fourth in Cy Young voting a few years ago, and I just feel like Gerrit Cole, I said he would be an all-star. I feel like Gerrit Cole has the potential to do some good things, so I just put him up there, but that's a good point.
I agree with that entirely, especially because Bregman was a vital part of them winning the World Series with his defensive work.
You agree with my point?
I agree with your point.
Yeah,
yes.
Baby!
I agree with
things
your point.
Things are back on track.
I agree too. That's a good,
good
point.
You make a list of 15, you know you're going to open yourself up to all kinds of name hurling and everything. Did you get any hate on social media yesterday?
Yeah, Lance could have easily been on the list. If Lance does what he did last year, which he's off to a good start, then Lance is definitely going to be on the list. It's just Lance could have been on it, and a lot of people said Tyrann Mathieu, which I think is way too premature.
That's way too premature.
I think it's premature.
But now if you're talking about moving forward, the biggest thing with Mathieu is how injured he's been.
Yes.
That's the scary thing.
I don't know if it's just headline porn or I don't know if it's just me being a podium critic and overreacting, but when he went on Jim Rome the other day and admitted he lost a step last year, it kind of just, I don't know how to react to that.
Well, because you never hear an athlete say something
like that. I like that. I think it's a good sign that he admitted it and addressed it as opposed to being in denial about it. You know what? This is typically what will happen. A guy will be in denial about it and say, no, I was fine last year. And he'll say, I was fine last year for like two or three years until he's right out of the league. I like that he is addressing that. He was he had some videos out yesterday, and I think he put them on Twitter, him just running
working
on some brown field in New Orleans. Yeah.
Well, that's good.
I like watching guys work out on brown fields, like going back to the old high school or whatever, getting back to your roots, instead of the pristine, plush, golf course-like training fields that we have at some of these facilities.
So looking at this, the list of the top 15 Houston athletes, I think the consensus, has to be Altuve 1, Harden 2. I think it has to be that way. Mm-hmm. Altuve is an MVP. Harden hasn't won it yet, although he will. But more importantly, Altuve has been a more clutch postseason performer, and he has a championship ring. Harden does not. So I think that's the consensus.
The capacity for the most movement here would be Deshaun Watson at number 10.
Yes.
Because if Deshaun Watson, if he puts together 16 games like the 7 that he had last year, does he immediately go up into the top 3 of Houston athletes? Because you have to put him above DeAndre at that point.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think DeAndre would argue about that.
If you take the 6 or 7 games and you just extrapolate them to 16, then you're top 3.
Oh, that's Peyton Manning stuff.
In fairness, you're probably not going to throw for 40 touchdowns in a season, as we discussed.
But if you did, that would be pretty damn good.
Yeah.
That would put you up into the top 3.
But even if you had 33 or whatever, just playing at that level.
DeAndre yesterday, I was big on the social media, it turns out, yesterday, as I'm going through these various memories. DeAndre, who all offseason had been putting various athletes from other teams photoshopped into Texans uniforms,
yep,
as he courted them on social media. He had just a picture of himself and Deshaun Watson done very artfully. Some kind of almost like a black and white. What did he say? Can't wait to set record, break records again with this guy.
Yeah, something about being unstoppable, something along those lines.
I got excited that he put up an actual Houston player.
I would actually put Carlos Correa above DeAndre Hopkins. Now, maybe his production over the course of entire seasons has not been where DeAndre's has been, but if you're just asking me who is better at what they do, I would give the edge to Correa a little bit over Hopkins.
No, Correa's MVP caliber if he plays the whole season.
Yes.
Correa, you're talking MVP of the league, potential MVP of the league.
Whereas Hopkins, probably not quite.
DeAndre's always going to be held back a little bit just by the position he plays.
Yeah.
And I think then also, this is the shame about DeAndre, is that he'll never get the credit from the media, I think, and probably a lot of football people, that I think he actually deserves, because he's not a conventional receiver, because he's not burning people on the outside necessarily, because he's not taking the top off of a defense. I think sometimes, unless you look like that and you're that kind of a wide receiver, people don't really appreciate your worth. Where he can do damage to that, though, is in the red zone. Just by being a huge red zone threat.
I don't have any issue with Verlander being 5, Chris Paul being 6. Those guys are obviously in almost the same exact point in their careers. You know, Verlander probably a little bit, further on based on his age. I would probably go with Clowney and George Springer above Dallas Keuchel. I would, and that's more about the future than it is what they have actually done. If that makes sense, I would.
If you're
lean...
looking forward, yeah. Well, especially for what you can do for a Houston team, since Dallas might not be here next year.
And he's obviously starting, and he's starting today with a 110 start to finish up the series against the Orioles. But if I was creating this list of top 15 current Houston athletes, I think I'd lean Clowney and Springer a little bit higher.
I also, you know what though, Landry, man, Deshaun's a tricky one, because you got him at 10 there, and if I'm thinking about the value of Deshaun Watson to the team versus the value of Jadeveon Clowney to the team, and I know it's not an MVP debate, right? It's the top current athletes. Deshaun just gets held back by his injury here, right?
That's simple.
And for what he's actually done, because he still hasn't played a whole NFL season.
6.5 games, man. That's all we saw was 6.5 games of this guy. That's tough. But if he plays good, heck, if he takes 2 steps back from what he was and plays 16 games and he's still maybe a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback, take that with a grain of salt, he's in the top 5 on the list easily.
Are you getting a lot of crap for putting Eric Gordon on the list?
Who should have
been on there instead of Eric Gordon?
A lot of people said that maybe Lance should have been on there instead of Eric Gordon. This is my argument for Eric Gordon, is that the Rockets currently have the best record in the NBA, 63 games. We look at this guy as a sixth man. He started 30 games this season,
yep, yep,
for the best team in the NBA. And when your sixth man has to start 30 games and you still have the best record in the NBA and he's averaging 18 points off the bench, to me, that shows that he's a little bit underappreciated and he's really good at what he does.
Yeah, I could see that. I went through and tried to find some guys who may have not made the cut that could have arguments. McCullers, Bernardrick McKinney. I wrote down Tyrann Mathieu. I wrote down Marwin Gonzalez. But that was really about it. But I felt like the guys who were on the list belonged, and then there's kind of a drop off after this one.
Gosh, it's such a strange position we're in with JJ Watt, and exactly what you expect out of him, what do you allow yourself to hope for out of JJ Watt? That's where I struggle, is I'm trying to picture exactly what's my realistic expectation, because we've all JJ for a long time was that guy kind of like Altuve where you'd say, well, he can't possibly do this again next year. Or he can't get better, can he?
And then
then all of a sudden he got better. And just like Altuve's done for the last several years. Now, before I even go down that road, let me point out that playing second base is a much different proposition than playing defensive lineman. So I'm not worried about Altuve because he doesn't have to take on double teams and everything. He's going to stay healthy for a long time, knock on wood. With JJ though, I got so accustomed to thinking, well, he can't get that many sacks every year, and then he would do it. It's hard for me to sit here and say, well, it's not likely for him to return to his previous form because he's exactly the kind of guy that would surprise you and do it.
Okay, well, how big of a deal is the leg injury itself? That's what I'm wondering. Because with backs, I do think one legitimate silver lining of his injury last year is that you give the back another year to sort of fully recover.
Yeah.
What's that leg injury going to do? Like, what is that? Because with Watson, I'm not worried at all about Watson getting healthy. And when I say at all, I mean I am not worried at all. What I worry about is staying healthy. With Watt, I'm like, what is that? Based on the unique nature of that leg injury, the broken leg, like the whole thing that happened, everything that's been written about that.
But it's the whole timeline, though, too, because I don't think you can boil it down to just the back. It's that season before he had the official back injury, before he had the surgeries in the offseason, he was playing with the torn groin muscles. Was it the hernia / groin muscles, whatever that issue was, which was multiple issues.
Yep.
He had the back issue the whole time. Then he gets the back surgery. Then he ends out for that year. And then he comes back and didn't look quite himself, was still making plays and productive, and then has a leg issue. But that's three straight years where he had major issues and major surgeries. And is it as simple as just, hey, is the back the main problem? Or is it that, for whatever reason, his body is having major issues all the time? And then, like, does it go, do you have three straight years of that, and then all of a sudden, as you're approaching 30, stay healthy for three straight years?
All right, so you asked the question, you know, what can you hope for? My hope would be, obviously, A, healthy for 16 games, and then if he's healthy for 16 games, whatever shape his body is in, that through the combination of just natural talent and the experience that he's picked up, being around an 8 to 10 sack guy.
Yeah.
Is that reasonable?
No, I think that's right. I think that's very reasonable. I think even when he hasn't looked good, the first year he went on IR, and then this last year as well, I thought that he would have gotten 8 sacks at least, just because of a combination of guile, the actual talent that he still had, and a bunch of other things. Like, yeah, I think you could still, even if he never reaches his peak form, he could still be an 8 to 10 sack a year guy. Very, very, very possibly.